6:30 in Barbados in the Eastern Caribbean. Time for us to welcome Sluggy Dan and the team for Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Sluggy Dan, greetings to you.
Greetings, greetings, manners and respect, making sure everyone can hear me good. You can hear me good, right?
Crystal clear. And we're live on Facebook as well. We're live on Facebook today, so that's something great for people to check out.
Put on my good-looking face, Sophia.
I should have warned you earlier. But
yeah, you know you go warm. You know you have one of these faces. But good evening, everyone. It's an absolute pleasure to have all of you. I'm extremely grateful for this esteemed panel. We have Mr. John Roit, who should be joining us soon. Of course, you know, this is December, and this is the Christmas season, Ronnie. And, you know, we are all about featuring the youth. And, of course, when Maria coming later, Maria and I can have a good, deep conversation as well, because it's all about taking the entire country forward and changing the mindset, and not necessarily looking to program people, as we don't want to. We just want everyone to see themselves as growth, as a commodity, as I am at this place, and I want to take myself to that place, which is bettering myself. And if everyone adopts that mindset, then of course we have a better nation on the whole. And I'm glad that along with the NTI, we also have someone that is hearing impaired, because it shows the diversity, Maria, and inclusiveness, you know. And good evening, Maria, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you representing the NTI. You know, absolutely love what you all are doing, and I thank you a lot. Good evening, Dario, Mr. Discorp. Dario, is an absolute pleasure to have you. And VOB Country, Dario Discorp is he's hearing impaired, and we are being communicated by an interpreter, Mr. Ronnie and I. So we'll be talking to Dario through an interpreter and relaying the message to you. And more so, of course, you know, you'll all be hearing Ronnie's voice when it comes to the interpreter and questions and so on, obviously. But this is an absolute pleasure for me, man. It was always a dream of mine to interview one of these persons on air, and is a goal of mine to make it normal. We don't want it to seem taboo anymore or out of the ordinary or something you do once and then you never do it again. You know what I mean? We want the world to see, and Barbados to see, that these are all people just like us. You know what I mean? You have different abilities just like us. So this is where we are going. This is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Mr. Dario Discorp, is an absolute pleasure to have you, bro. And I've looked at your work. I've looked at some of the photography. Listen to me, Ronnie. I've tried. Let me tell you this, Ronnie, right? Everybody know that I think I can do everything. I see photography and I just say, well, I got a good phone. I got iPhone 11 now. That my niece give me running. I got one more than iPhone. So I think I could take good pictures. That was my mindset, Ronnie. I didn't go train. And then I look at other people's pictures, the unedited versions. And they say, wait. They ain't edit yet. Why edit my picture? And it look as good as theirs. But it is capturing what from what I understood is capturing a moment in its purest form. I'm not forcing yourself to capture the moment. Like, then dealing with nature and trying to take those types of pick. That is something that I've learned. Now, Dario, I've seen your photography and your art, and I must say I'm extremely impressed. First, I must ask you, bro, where did you hone that skill?
Hello, good evening, everyone. My name is Dario. I am completely deaf. And how did I learn photography? Well, it was quite a while back. It was just a basic level. Well, I would use my phone, a camera, take some pictures. And they were so-so. But then I heard in 2017 that the deaf were informed if anybody is interested in learning photography, videography, that kind of media where they can be involved. So there was a group of deaf persons in 2017 and until 2018, they learned how to use the camera, how to take videos. And afterward, I myself decided to buy a new camera. Here it is. And also, I would take pictures using the cellular phone. I would practice and practice and practice. And also, my friend taught me privately some more lessons about how to use the camera properly. And the interpreter helped to explain to me so that I could improve. Then about 2019 and onward, until now, I've been continuing taking pictures. I really love it. And I edit photographs as well.
No, that is incredible. That is incredible. And thank you, Joy. Thanks for coming on, Joy, and helping out Mr. Ronnie Clark and myself is the interpretation.
You're welcome.
Dario.
No, great. Go ahead, Ronnie.
What are the biggest challenges you've faced so far, given that you're completely deaf, but you have this tremendous talent?
That's a good question. Well, the biggest challenge is communicating with persons who are able to hear. Sometimes I might have to use like gestures, point here, point there. Sometimes they may not understand, but that's a challenge. Also, all of my family members are hearing. I alone am deaf. And they don't really know sign language. I'm the one who uses sign language. Sometimes the misunderstandings during communication, the communication breakdown. For the 7 o'clock news in the evening, sometimes I might ask, what's going on the TV? And they may say, hold on. I can't hear. That's quite challenging. There have been so many challenges throughout life.
And from a business perspective, how do you engage your clients? And obviously they're impressed when you produce your work, but for them it's the first time dealing with someone who's deaf but is brilliant at what they do for the service they're requesting from you.
Now, most times, I would ask the deaf person, because it's easier to communicate with them, do you mind volunteering to do a photo shoot? And my wife, who is hard of hearing, I would ask her to come along also, perhaps be my model. It's easier to communicate with those who are deaf or hard of hearing. However, hearing persons have contacted me for photography services. Sometimes that is challenging. I would ask my wife to help me with communicating with them, how to send them messages and whatnot.
And how does social media help what you're doing?
Well, it is important that I show what is involved in my work, my photography, my craft. I post pictures and so on so people can see, and if they're interested, they can contact me. And my wife would help me to change up how I write the posts so that I will be understood properly. And I can do more ads and allow people to see, oh, that's a deaf person. He can offer that service or that girl. Cool. And then they can contact me and arrange where to meet and what's not.
Tell us about the camera and the technology that you use.
So I do videography, for example, for weddings. I would use the cellular phone or something that I would live stream for a funeral. I would have to use a light, a computer program for video editing. There are various things.
And have you had the opportunity to share with persons even younger than yourself who have hearing challenges to inspire them to use you as an example?
Yes, I've always been one to encourage fellow deaf persons. Don't give up. Don't say, oh, I can't do this. Put that attitude aside. Take it step by step. Go ahead. You can do it. And perhaps give them commendation when they make it. It will help them to feel better and they can carry on. If they do something wrong, perhaps offer private advice, and then they understand, okay, I understand. I try to encourage them to improve. Each person is different, so I would just encourage them accordingly. Doesn't matter whether they're younger or older, I'm willing to help them to improve their business or their skill. It is important to show people so they can see, well, persons who are deaf or hard of hearing can develop various skills. It is about awareness of the deaf community. You can share information to persons about your skill and they will be impressed.
You've achieved so much so far, but you must have more goals that you want to reach. Tell us about them.
I am hoping soon I am going to get a new laptop so that I would be able to edit videos more efficiently and enjoyably. And my craft business called Coconuts, that was recently established for selling craft made from coconut shells. Here is an example.
Absolutely fantastic.
Also, I asked him to repeat what he said because I missed. Okay, so I have the goal of improving the product that I offer in my business, Coconuts. Also improving the equipment I use for my media business. I would love to try to experience wedding photography, videography. I really want to be involved, whether it is a deaf or a hearing person who's getting married. It will really help me to enjoy my work. That is my goal.
You're very intense, very involved in what you do. But besides your business, what else interests you?
I love the beach. I love to travel to different islands, for example, and meet deaf persons in those various islands. I'm interested in the beautiful scenery around me. Food. I enjoy doing different handicraft myself or gardening and whatnot.
Sluggy.
Yes, please. Nice. Nice. Thanks a million, my brother Ronnie. Ronnie, what I gathered is happening to this young man is he's not only pushing himself as a businessman or a creative, he's also with a task now of trying to bring others along, which I think is a big task. So I am extremely pleased that we can help give him a platform today. And of course, we give him a platform many other days, because I can see that he's not only thinking about, well, let me push myself, my business as a business person, as an entrepreneur, as a creative who want to make a living and live a normal life with his wife. He's mentioned his wife more than once, which means, Ronnie, he's a family man. He's a normal man like you and I, who desire to have a wife and your own business and making money. We must see these people as normal, as normal, you know what I mean? There's no other way about it. So, I just want to tell the young man, I commend him for taking up that fight, though, wanting to bring along others as well. Why, although you are new, although you are up and coming in your business, why you still taking the time out to try to pull others along? Because I know it's hard being a business person. Being a normal person, like, we are all normal, but being what society considers normal, like myself, it is hard already. So I can't imagine how hard it is for you, and then you trying to put others along. Why is it so important now at this stage of your career?
Okay, so I don't like the idea of being self-centered. It is important to take care of family responsibilities and also help other persons, whether deaf or not, encourage them to progress personally. Perhaps if they have a problem or lend a listening eye, perhaps offer them advice. For example, a deaf person who has children, perhaps the children are hearing and the parents are deaf, there's a communication breakdown. I would encourage the parents to offer some simple signs to the child to help them to learn the language and from early on so they can communicate with their deaf parent. That is very important. So I would just mention that from time to time to the deaf parent. It's important that they know their responsibilities, and I would love to see deaf persons advance, become successful, have happy families, despite problems and struggles. I would love to see them get through it.
That is so wonderful, Dario. That is so wonderful, and like, I wish you, I'm not saying goodbye yet, but I just want to say quickly that I wish you nothing but the best and nothing but the greatest things life have to offer. And I really hope that Barbados is tuning in today and give a listening ear, a listening eye, as you say, because you're very articulate and intelligent, and from you speaking and breaking down things and making it simple for a hard head like myself to understand, I think that's extremely important for persons like yourself to make the communication easy. And it being real, everybody could tell you, like Ron could tell you the truth. If you could explain a sluggy, that means you could explain to most people who come here hard. You know what I mean? I'm very, very difficult. So I just want to commend you on being able to communicate and express yourself so well. Okay. Great job.
Kevin, we mentioned social media earlier.
Yes.
Dario, where can we find your pages and platforms on IG and Facebook, website, etc.?
Okay, so you can check on Instagram, DScope246. Okay, so let me focus on DScope first. So we have DScope246, and then on Facebook, it is DScope1. So that is for the media business. And then I recently established a new page for my coconut craft. It's called Coconut, spelled K-O-K-O-N-U-T-Z, Coconuts246. That focuses on the craft made from coconut shells.
Now, Kev, next month, potentially 10,000 visitors coming. And I know English folk and European folk, they love to have something unique to take back. And if possible, not have to break the bank to take it back, but you would know it came from the Caribbean. You know it came from Barbados. What we saw on Facebook today displayed is something that would classify as an item that could be in demand. Once positioned in the right place, accessible to the crowds and those who are coming, I am certain something like that would be welcome, especially in jolly cold England, where all of these tourists are going to be coming from. You look at that shell, you look at the way it's painted and prepared. Maybe take back a bottle of rum with you and John Rowett's autobiography, and you have a tremendous capturing of your time in Barbados. So how would Dario be able to benefit from some advice in being positioned so he can sell his work when the tourists are here, in addition to already being on social media where they can access it from there? Because that's going to be that could be a life-changing 3 weeks for him.
Yes. Listen, I love that. That is a question to, we can put that to the panel. After this, you can have Miss Maria with the NTA in 5. We're going to speak about the NTA and how the NTA and what we are doing, all this could help everything that's going on right now, the advancement. So thanks, Maria. But the question they put into the panel, especially, and we have Mr. John Roy with us as well this evening, ladies and gentlemen. So I just want to say good evening to the legend himself, Mr. John Roy, philanthropist, musician extraordinaire, and I can't express that enough. One of the greatest musicians anywhere in the world, you know what I mean? A crazy mind, which makes him extremely creative. And no, Mr. Ronnie, he's an author of a book that I think is so important for the culture. These backstage stories that are so graphic. When you tell these stories, you could just picture it happening. And anytime John posted or anybody that was inbound, people are all like, oh yeah. These are actual things that happen, which I think is fantastic. And someone playing their trade right here in Barbados, you know, played music in Barbados for many, multi years, and then turning around and writing a book about your whole experience, John. I just think that is fantastic. And I just want to give your flowers while you are here. Let's let you know that to me, you are an absolute legend in our field. And we really, really appreciate what you have done over the years. And we can't wait to see what more you have in store for us. So congratulations on everything, John. And we appreciate you a whole lot.
Thanks, friends.
Yes, buddy. Now, before I even take a performance, Kalimani can do a song for us. And so we can send off your children. Because the question I'm going to pose to the panel now, John, like you have a book which is CSR. My brethren Dario now have his coconut creation, which I think is absolutely fantastic. And then you hear this one, Mr. Clark spoke about the 10,000 people coming, John, and I want to know what are ways. It don't simple ways. I'm not complaining. We love it, welcoming it. I just want to hear simple solutions and how we can make crowds like that benefit cultural practitioners like yourself, like what Dario is doing, like what you are doing, how we can maximize those numbers that won't take us 10 more years to plan, and simple ways that could benefit all of us. But I want to take in a performance note from Kaimani. Kaimani can pass through to come and do a song for us. So good evening, young Kaimani. Understand he recently had a birthday. And he's now, how old are you now? 13 years old. Kaimani, good evening, Kaimani. Mr. Kaimani Devines, good evening, buddy. How are you?
I good, you?
I'm great, bro. I'm great. And what's the age of your last birthday? 13 now? 13?
Yes, please.
Well, good. Happy birthday once again. You had a good birthday?
Yes, please.
Good. What will you be performing for us? Where's Christmas tune to put us in?
I'll be performing Hard Candy Christmas.
Whoa, that's a big tune. Go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kaimani Devonish, Teen Talent finalist multiple times, came second, third. He's only 13 years old. He's also winner of the BIM Got Talent sing-off competition. A young man with a beautiful voice. And I want to encourage him to keep on going, keep on singing, keep on blessing hearts. And I want to welcome Mr. Kaimani Devonish, the Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme family. Take it away, buddy.
Hey, maybe I'll dye my hair. Maybe I'll move somewhere. Maybe I'll get a car. Maybe I'll drive so far that I lose track. Me, I'll bounce right back. Maybe I'll sleep real late. Maybe I'll lose some weight. Maybe I'll clear my junk. Maybe I'll just get drunk on apple wine. Me, I'll be just fine and dandy. Lord, is like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me wear down. I'll be fine and dandy. Lord, is like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me wear down. Hey, maybe I'll learn to sing. Maybe I'll just lie low. Maybe I'll hit the bus. Maybe I'll count the stars until dawn. Me, I will go on. Maybe I'll settle down. Maybe I'll just leave town. Maybe I'll have some fun. Maybe I'll need someone and make them mine. Me, I'll be just fine and dandy. Lord, is it like a hard candy Christmas? I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me wear down. I'll be fine and dandy. Lord, is it like a hard candy Christmas? I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me wear down. I'll be fine and dandy. Lord, is like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me wear down. 'Cause I'll be fine, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy. Great job, great job, great job, great job. Let me tell you, at just 13 years old and singing like that, you have a bright future. So great job, Kaimani, and thank you so much from the VLB family. And everybody out there, let them know where they can find you. You know, you never know. So I want to book you to sing a Christmas tune at the luncheon or sing a Christmas tune at the wedding. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media, buddy.
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Devonish Kaimani 48, DEVONASH. KYMANA 48.
Devonish Kaimani 48. Okay, good job, buddy. Good job, buddy. And thank you very much. And have a great night, Kaimani.
Thank you. You too.
Yes, please.
Young man with a lot of talent there. And yeah. He obviously needs to build a repertoire so that when people call him, he can comfortably present that. And depending upon the event, choose the suitable songs that suit his voice and suit the occasion. Well, Mr. John Rowett is here. I'll be getting my copy by the grace of God by Friday this week. I'll be picking it up. You know, remember a few years ago, I was on vacation, and I was reading Billy Joel's biography because I am a fan of biographies. If I'm watching television, it has to be a documentary or it has to be sport. And if Liverpool are playing and not winning, I take back the television because it's obviously not working properly. But biographies have been few and far between from the iconic Barbadian and indeed Caribbean artists and creatives. The last one I bought was The Mighty Gabby's Who Gabby Think He Is. That's a tremendous book. And the type of book that should be on our curriculum for at least the fourth form and up, and definitely sixth form for those pursuing cultural studies, even into university. So I'm intrigued to read what John Rowett has, because this is a man that has a storied career as a musician. First of all, he's a world-class musician. And it's important for people to understand that we are world-class in Barbados. I recall Nicholas saying with Kashi a few weeks ago, someone said to him that his work sounds international, though, basically drawing a line between Barbados and what is world-class. But it was meant as a compliment. But it's the type of communication, given the level of work that's been produced coming out of Barbados for over decades, that we can move on past that. At our highest level, we are world class. But we understand what people mean. And then, of course, John, as a white man, has played with every color and shade. But I don't know about green men, but if they exist, he's definitely played for them. Or he maybe saw green men by virtue of his activities over decades in entertainment, right? So, and he's a forthright, straight talker, and he's always willing to put his hand up and say, you know what, maybe it was a little hard there, but this is what I meant to say. So this book, Backstage Pass, looking forward to reading it. So John, tell us about Backstage Pass.
The concept for it, I guess, started as a seedling in 2007, I think it was. But I just was making notes, and I realized that for all the years I was touring, I had, for whatever reason, obviously not knowing at that time, I always kept a diary on everything that I did every day, where I went, hotel room, what hotel. And I took a lot of pictures and stuff. So when one day I just added this stuff up, and it was, I think the book says somewhere it's 900 and something thousand miles I've traveled touring, 600 and something hotel rooms.
Woo!
So it was like, I then decided, okay, well, maybe I could do something on this. And it took years. It took, like I said, it was just a thought until I actually went, okay, well, I'll start it. And then I realized that as a session player, I had played with so many people, so many Caribbean people and international artists, that I started to trace the history of Barbadian and Caribbean music from back in the 60s when Spooge first started, right through all the groups and artists that I've played with, like Mary Men, Spice, Maxi Priest, Michelle, David Rudder, Party Monarch Band, Festival Band, Bruce Hornsby. I can't remember all of them. So it started to, it wasn't just about me, so, which is what I wanted. I'm not an egotistical person. So it, like the book took an avenue where I wasn't expecting it. It was a really interesting change. Mm-hmm. So by each group that I played in, it also traced the stage of music and the stage that I was at as an individual and a musician. The most challenging part was being honest, very honest about how I felt on issues that had happened back then and where the music industry was, everything on years ago through eyes that now see the world in a different way, you know? So trying to be honest back then, but seeing it differently. But that was what took most of the time, wording it properly. So the right words, not to be me, but to be me now at the same time that I was me. I've been doing this for 48 years, 45 years as a professional. So that was the challenge, but that's who, what took all the time.
Who or what influenced you musically that allowed you to take that almost 50-year journey with music?
I was self-taught. I realized that it was obviously a God-given gift. I could hear a song on the radio and sit down at the piano and play it. And it was like, say, maybe I think it was either 5 or 6. And then I had the luxury and blessing of finding Janice Millington at Harrison College, who was, I used to call her every single day after I left school, which not every single day, every single Christmas, wish her a Merry Christmas. And I once wrote a jingle for Caribbean Airlines and hired her to play a violin on it, real violin, where I could have done it on a keyboard strings. She was a great influence. There was a saxophonist by the name of Phil Brito that lived in Black Rock that gave me some interesting insight. I think his words to me were, what you don't play is as important as what you do play. So at 14, that was like, what? And then I went, oh, the breathing, music must breathe. Yes, son, music is a conversation and you can't be speaking all the time. Ernie Small was an absolute genius. I saw him in Rudy's Inn when I was in the, I would say, 17, 18 years old. And seeing what he could do made me go home and practice for months to play multiple parts, which is the kind of skill I think he probably made me more than anyone else be able to play multiple parts, which is, I think, probably the foundation of my current reputation. Yes. So there were a lot of people who influenced me, yeah.
So what was your first professional gig?
My first professional gig?
Where you got paid, where they paid you.
I know, I can remember my first gig. I was 11 and it was at the top of the 11th Avenue, Belleville, in the Ali's house, who owned the Globe. And Ras Ali was my friend from school. He went on to be a pilot. I mentioned that in the book. My first professional gig that I got paid for, I couldn't remember that one.
Or are you saying
that I've played for like Rice and Peas and stuff, and that, I'm serious.
I got you.
I have played for Rice and Peas.
Well, I've emceed for a bag of shopping. I've emceed for a bag of shopping, so that's understandable.
I couldn't remember my first paying gig. No, I couldn't probably. I think it's probably I was in a group called the Footsteps. I think we had 6 people in the band. I think we used to play for $80. And then you had to take out the transport for the van and stuff. So it might have ended up with like maybe $8 or $10, whatever it was.
What was the repertoire that the Footsteps played?
We used to cover a lot of the top 40 back then. So it would have been probably like Simon and Garfunkel, a lot of British bands. British bands ruled back then. So like, and actually the whole Spooge era, a lot of these songs were British songs that were being redone. Like Mickey D did over Rolling Stones. And I think another English group that a lot of Spooge came off of was Herman's Hermits. So a lot of British songs were out then. And a lot of the Spooge artists here were doing what the Jamaican artists were doing, similarly to the songs coming out of the States and doing it in reggae. We were doing it Spooge. But it was a lot of British songs, yeah.
Now, musically, there was a merging of the color lines, which wasn't necessarily reflected in society at that point. What role do you see musicians having played in breaking down barriers?
Musicians and sportsmen have always been the ones. Music doesn't have color. Musicians who are of the same ilk, it is just inherent in the actual creative spirit that you just don't see color. You just playing with guys. I remember when I was coming up, they had this one band, I think it was Andrew Hunt and Al Jilks used to play drums. It was like, there was no one, all you were doing, you were playing with someone who could play music. So when I think one of my first groups was a group that was put together by Bill Bradley, who ended up playing with the Troubadours. He was an American guy that was on the naval base. And we used to practice at my parents' home in Chelsea Road there, going up towards the Bay Line. And the band was him. It was the Troubadours horn section. There was Raymond Blake, Prince Cave. I can't remember if it was Bell Small. Lloyd Wilson was in there. And we did an ad for Liat, I think it was. I mean, like, you never even saw it. For whatever reason, musicians and sportsmen, I'm not saying that it isn't there, but I never felt it. I guess you don't see things if you don't go looking for them. You know what I mean?
True, but the connection is true. Because when you're playing musicians, whether it's Indians, whether they're white, whether they're black,
don't matter.
The interest is be in the creation. So you'll be too much studying. Let me add a flat six here, or being sharpen the third here. Woo, John boy, that lick sound good. Like, that's got your head taken up too much, because the creation itself, the creative process is be so captivating that I think that was erase the color, probably
the actual spirit, the actual spirit of playing music,
right? Correct.
If you were in any way, even if you were black or white or Indian, and you were in anywhere racist, you would feel it. Any other musician in the room would feel that vibe, and it would kill everything. So that never happened. I've never experienced that playing music ever.
Two of the biggest bands to come out of Barbados, I mean, one of the biggest groups in the world, fact, is the Merry Men. And then a generation after, Spice, which became Spice and Company, emerged. Yeah. Now, you have had stints with both bands. Tell us about those experiences.
I was working in Tongue as a computer programmer because my dad asked me to have something to fall back on. I qualified. I went to Trinidad and studied with IBM. And I fired work like about 2 weeks after I got the qualification. Something went wrong in the office and it didn't end well. On my part, I didn't end it well. I kind of walked out. And I was at home eating biscuits and cheese for weeks. And I remember one of my best friends, Dane Woods, was by me. And I had played with the Merry Men. They had called me when I was at work at Plantations Trading. And I made a striker call and said that Willie had parted a dog fight if I could fill in for them. And it was on the same day. So I just left work and went up and ran through some songs and played with them for about 2 weeks. And then after I fired the work and I was right at the edge, I didn't have any money left whatsoever. I got a telephone call asking me if I could come up to the studio and play on, it was their Sugar Jam album. It was one of the biggest albums that changed the kind of direction of where they went from calypso to soca. And then a couple of months after, they had asked me if I would, because of the keyboards being on the album did well, playing live, they asked me if I would perform with the band. My only stipulation was that I didn't have to wear the shirt, believe it or not. So I was actually a member of the Merry Men for, I think, 35 years, maybe, right down until the end, as a session player, but as a member of the band. And then after them, I try to remember, I think I left the band in 1984 and joined Artwork, started then. So it was something like, I've realized that through everything I've done, even if I am the person who closes the door, not knowing what will happen after, for whatever reason, whenever you close one door, another door will open. If you just believe, that's how life goes.
Tell us about In the Conga Line, because you were involved in that recording.
I was not on the Conga Line. I joined the band. I joined Spice after I left Maxi Priest, which would have been 1991.
Okay.
And I think I was with the band until the band ended. I was in the band until 1997 or 1998 when the band ended.
But there was a big debate about keyboard horns versus live horns, because you had a habit of programming horns from a keyboard that sounded so real that people were arguing about whether they were real or whether they were synthesized.
When we played live in Spice, I actually layered my keyboard samples that I had created with live samples that were recorded up by Eddie Grant into an Akai S1000. And I think the two players were Boo husbands, and I think it was the trumpet player in Coalition at the time. It might have been Beans. Beans. So I was playing my keyboards with Boo's trombone and Beans's trumpet sampled like across the whole keyboard. So it did sound real if you played it properly, like played it with the right amount of attack, like how a horn player would play. Not pow do you that, like patatata. You had to be very, very sharp with it. So yeah, that's what gives Spice that kind of magic, I guess. The live feeling when they changed. Yeah.
And that's a key point when it, because you are a producer, and when you're creating music with all the technology, you must think like a musician. People have programs at home now, and they're not musicians per se, but they hear something that sounds good and they put a chant or a rap on top of it. But it always makes a difference when you have a real musician programming a synthesizer, correct, and a drum machine.
Yeah, if I ever, I think all of the recordings that I've done as an individual where I will play bass, everything, I will always get a drummer to program. I don't think there's any soca thing that I've done that I did not use Mikey Halsmeyer on it. Only a drummer can know when to actually play a fill and what fill to actually play. Yeah. So you have to be able to think like the instrument or the person who plays the instrument.
Yes.
Now we'll be chatting with NTI shortly, but I must hear you share your experience with Maxi Priest, because around that time, Shabba Ranks had become a Grammy award-winning artist. Maxi Priest was global. He had songs like Close to You, which was a number one hit single in the United Kingdom and around the world. He was doing Set the Night to Music with Roberta Flack. And you were on the biggest nighttime shows as the musical director. And the artists were surprised to see a white man step into the rehearsal to say, hey, let's get this music happening.
All right, before John goes to that, I just want to tell the audience and let's say a pleasant evening to my buddy Dario and thank him for coming, Ronnie. And you've done a wonderful job of representing yourself and your community beautifully. Oh. And if you just want to ask if there's anything you want to say before we bid you goodbye, and just let you know that please be a friend to the show and don't let it be the last thing we hear from you.
Okay, I would like to say some deaf persons have different skills, for example, decorative glass bottles and so on. If you want more information with regard to the deaf in the community and what they do, you can contact me via Broad Street Media. That's their Facebook page, Broad Street Media. And I can give you information about the different things that the person in the deaf community do. Or you can contact the deaf organization or me on my business Instagram page. Also, if you want to know where I'm going to be selling my craft and whatnot, you can visit Holders Farmers Market.
Nice.
On Holders Hill. That is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sundays.
Now hold on, Holders.
Holders Hill, St. James. Holders Farmers Market.
Then Holders Hill, St. James. Holders Farmers Market on Sundays from 9 a.m. Good. You got that, ladies and gentlemen. Holders Hill, St. James. Holders Market from 9 a.m. on Sundays. Make sure you go and support. And also Broad Street Media is the Facebook page.
Yes.
Okay, it's Broad Street Media, and there are lots more hearing impaired persons who are doing wonderful things, just like all of us. And like my buddy Dario said, you can head on over to Broad Street Media on Facebook. Please, I implore you, I beg all of you to go over there and support the movement, support what this young man is doing. Once again, Dario, it was a pleasure speaking to you. I know we'll have you lots more times, and I appreciate the good work you are doing, my brother. And you always got support from myself, and I'm sure you can see it, John and Ronnie and Maria as well. We all support what you are doing, and we behind you 1,000%, buddy. Great job.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Before we get to John, I want to bring the NTA in five. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Joy. You've done a wonderful job. Joy, you were great. You were great.
Indeed.
Listen, Ronnie was the person speaking to you mostly because he's much more articulate than I am. I can't get away from dialect, no matter what I do. So I must thank Ronnie as well. But you were wonderful, Joy, and I really, really appreciate you coming on and doing such a great job this evening.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having us.
Yes, keep up the great work. Yes, people, that is Joy, and that is Dario's interpreter. Great job from her. Head over to Broad Street Media and support the movement. Right now, we have NTA in five. Thank you, Joy, and thank you, Dario. Have a great evening. Right now, we have NTA in five. Now, Miss Maria, you've heard the conversations this evening. You've heard the good words from the young people, and you've also heard John Roy. Now, the NTA National Transformation Initiative, NTA in five, they want you to please tell us about the NTA and what we are doing that could certainly help the cause. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, and thanks for coming on for NTA in five. Hit the unmute button, sister. You know, the old people don't be good with technology. Don't worry, I can help you.
Oh, my dear Sluggy, thank you so much.
You're most welcome,
thank
sister.
Thank you for having me this evening, too.
As
a representative of NTA, as you already said, we're the National Transformation Initiative.
Yes.
And we are led by an awesome leader, Dr. Allison Leacock.
Yes.
Awesome team also. And we are about fostering a sense of identity, pride, and self-respect to all Barbadians. So we have this initiative. I'm going to call the website early. So we're going www.nta.org.bb. That website is filled with loads and loads of information. Your mind will be blown if you just visit our website and see the courses that we
everything
have.
Free. And not to cut you off, but everything is free and lots of short, convenient courses as well from what I find.
Very much so.
Which I'm sure the Barbadians want to hear. And you don't need internet either. That is phenomenal. You don't need internet or data. The courses are free and many of them are short and convenient. That is the trump card.
No, you see, you hit the nail on the head. So you just
it's a business. So a free, easy, and short, I ain't gonna hurt my head. That's me.
Yes. You just made that part so much easier. So you see, you said it, Sluggy. What else could we ask for? You go in there, you'll learn stories. You'll be able to read. We have different artifice. We have Alex Jordan, Adrian Green. We know their names alone is ahead of even telling you what they do. I am Maria Holder Small, and I am a change artivist. My specialty is dealing with persons with disabilities. So I know Dario very well personally. And as you have already, trumped him, work is awesome. And I'm proud to be able to say that I personally own some of his stuff that he's done. So
that's great. That's great. That's what they need. They need the real support. It's hard to clap. It's hard to say a good job. It's hard to holler, but they need the real support as well. So that's phenomenal. And thanks for doing that.
And as a young woman who developed my disability, I had to learn to live with it. I had to find a way to. My whole life changed. This was back in 2005. This is 2021. I can no longer walk. So my role as the change artivist with NTA is to make sure I share my story hoping that it will bring change through awareness. So when I tell you, when you see me, you might see me sitting here, I'm in a motorized wheelchair. So I just backed up to the computer to do this interview with you. If you saw me sitting in a car, you would never know that I can't walk. So you would look at me, you hear me on the telephone. So when people see me now, I know you were sore. Why so? Because they spoke to me on the phone. I gave them the info they wanted. So then they're shocked.
Yeah.
So my role with NTA, and thank God we have a director who was already sensitized
in
terms of dealing with persons with disabilities. So it was easy bringing me on board to push inclusion and equality.
Which is great.
Correct. So that was the easy part. I did not have to preach to her to tell her, oh, we need to do this, we need to do that. I just put my ideas on the board, on plan, because I'm living the life.
Yes.
So I have to share it with you and tell you, you know what? Life change. Yes. We have persons who are born with disabilities. Things are different. We see things differently because I had to adjust. And I had to adjust at the age of 32.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting ready to study. I'm getting ready to go into university. I'm working. I'm driving. You know, have my own car. Married. And then up comes this diagnosis.
Yeah.
So I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, which is a life changer for anybody, whether you're walking with it or if you're using a motorized wheelchair like I do.
True.
So it's all about changing mindsets. It's all about us getting out there as NTA and not just teaching you how to do coding or any other course, but also about helping you to understand that life, it takes every one of us to make that one picture.
Yeah,
you gotta
be
there for each other.
Yes.
Because today is mine.
Tomorrow's yours.
Correct.
Yeah, the inclusiveness is what you try to preach, because listen, right? Like me myself, I'm so far from perfect, Maria, as everyone know, and the chances I've gotten. And I don't have a disability. Well, I have one now, in one of my eyes, you know what I mean? But I could still only see one of my eyes, but one of my eyes still perfect. And for me, getting so many chances and getting it wrong so many times, and I'm perfect. So I just sit down to myself, imagine persons who have to fight through these challenges, John, you know, the challenges that you and I might not have to, you know what I mean? And we still sitting perfect. You understand what I mean, John? God, include these people more, boy, because if we're fighting like this, imagine those persons. So I love inclusiveness, and we got to see it more. And John Ho, John, quickly, I obviously follow you for enough years, and I see you doing many philanthropic work, persons with children in hotels and so on. Where you get that sensitive nature from to deal with those persons? Because I must admit, bro, it took me from 1999 in the police band till about 2006 to grasp really dealing with these with the people on a normal level, not making them feel like if they are invalided. You understand me, John? Where did you develop that from, buddy? Because it was hard for me, being real.
But I think it's born into your spirit. You know, when I was young, I always wanted to help people. And then, if you're there's that saying, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Yes.
But then I think the turning point for me really was watching my wife die from lung cancer day by day. And then when she breathed out and didn't breathe back in, everything changed in my world. It was I realized that it was so important to live in every moment that you are in, and every moment that you're given is a gift, right? Which is why the present is called the present. I understand. So I realized that I was in a situation where I could help people, because of wherever my path had taken me, through my music, whatever it was that I was known. Like I said, I have no ego, but somehow I got put in the situation where I could help people. And even if I couldn't help them myself on a financial basis, that I could effect and influence people to help me, to help them. You know what I mean? So I use that, and I've done that for the last, I can't remember how long, you know, like people call and I don't even have to know who it is. I just, you know, you just help. If I can't, I can't. If I can, I will give everything I have.
Yeah. And before you hand over to Ronnie, that's something I must commend you on, because you will see people ask about things that someone might said, ask John, or see if John knows somebody. So like, no, being serious, I didn't know it had happened to you a lot. John, you know, so this boy needs something. So that is a great reputation to build, bro. That is a great name and reputation to build. So he must commend you on that for sure. Go ahead, Mr. Nobby. You was asking something?
Yeah, John, we're talking about your name and reputation, and wonderful, wonderful testimony, Maria. Very powerful.
Yes.
And Maria's, I know that amazing. All those listening.
Love you.
Impacted.
I know
by
people
that.
With multiple sclerosis, and it's not a walk in the park.
It's true.
I have great admiration for what you're doing. That's the truth.
Yeah. There are people younger than myself that I know have had it for a long time. And it just challenges those who are really bright, really sharp, and just rising. And then you hear about their plight and their battles. So,
she said it's a life changer, man, for anybody.
It is. Yeah. So, John, you have this name, you have this reputation. How did you get to become the musical director for Maxi Priest and just travel around the world? And I'm sure, I understand there were also other Bajans and West Indians with you.
Yeah, that was like a freak thing. That was almost like a Rihanna happening, which are like, it's like those things don't really happen often. That's just like being in the right place at the right time. I had, I was in a group called Hot Gossip, and I had to have kidney surgery. I was really, really, really very, very ill. And I left the band and went to live down on the beach, down on the East Coast Road. And Ken Jones and Sox from Chocolate Affair called and asked that Leonard had left the band and if I would join. And I was still not healed yet, but they were friends and I went to help them out. And their manager, Dennis Cadogan, was a good friend with a Bajan called Erskine Thompson, who was Maxi's manager. So Maxi came down to do a show at the stadium with Arrow. I think it was Arrow came in with his band, and Chartered Affair was backing Maxi. Now, Chartered Affair was just Ken on drums, Sox on bass, and I'm playing keyboards. So I had like five keyboards playing, horn lines, guitar parts, keyboard parts. Tamara Marshall was in the band. And at the end of the gig, Erskine said, well, you know, he's going to have an album coming out. We expect it to do very well. We're going to be doing a world tour. Would you be musical director? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, yeah. In other words, yeah, I've heard that 10,000 times. Yeah, bro. And I just went down on the East Coast and blank heat. Ignore it. Like, I know that ain't gonna happen. And then 4 weeks later, I got a call from this guy called Steve, who was the tour manager. And it was actually real. So they sent me down a DAT tape at that time. And I sequestered myself in a room. And I wrote the arrangements for the entire 90-minute show. And then went up to New York and rehearsed with the other session players I'd never seen. So.
And when you made these appearances on television, it was a multi-artist presentation. You know, time is tight on the biggest programs in American television. And I've reviewed it many times. It was just amazing. It's fantastic.
It has to be precise, yeah. Like if they tell you that you have 4 minutes, 19 seconds, it's 4 minutes, 19 seconds, not 4 minutes, 20, they'll cut you off. You'll be dead in you know? So there were times, like I think David Letterman's show went, okay, I think it was Rick Dees that had a specific absolute that I had to change the whole song up and that kind of stuff. But those are interesting challenges, and they come to you on the fly and you either roll with it or you die in the water. So.
And as a producer, you've produced local reggae music, local Christmas music. Natalie's album, which was showcased at MIDEM, Latin America and the Caribbean, in 1998. I was actually there to see that, to see that type of outreach to the international community. We're in December, Caribbean Christmas, Colors of Christmas. You've had a lot of hand, a lot of involvement in those projects.
Yeah, two Christmas albums with numerous local acts. The first one, I think, was Caribbean Christmas, done for CRS, which had quite a few hits on it. But I think the two biggest hits were Biggie Irie's version of Little Drummer Boy. And there was a song that my daughter sang, she was 10 at the time, that Dean Straker's sister wrote when she was 7 years old, called Under the Christmas Tree.
Wow.
I mean, my daughter does not want anybody to know that. She's 36 now, but she doesn't want anybody to know that she did it. And then I did another album with RHB, and that had on Natalie and John King. I did a ska track that was very, very cool as well.
Put Christ in Christmas.
Put Christ in Christmas. There you go. Yeah. You know, Mikey Halsmeyer was bringing this. There were two ska versions on it. He did one with Arturo and one with John King. That was very, very cool. And John just came in the studio and heard the rhythm and sat down and wrote the track in the studio and then sang it and left.
And the caroling, that was not too far from the period. Not too far from the period when you were doing I Got a Dance and Jump Yardy, because you had the Spirit of the Rhythm compilation as well.
Yeah, three of them. Yeah. And Natalie was really at her peak then. She was doing very, very, very well. And she was the ideal person to sing that. There was also one song, I think, that we did that she sang in French, but I can't remember the name of the song.
Silent Night. I think it's Silent Night in French.
There, you see what I mean? You know more than I do about
listen,
what I do.
Listen, the money easy, John. The money
easy. Easy. I know.
Let's one of my favorites ever, Natalie Bird, absolute legend.
Let's bring it back to the book. So the book is here. It's available. I've seen some posts in social media where people have collected it. You're going to various events just to give people a chance. What about online and audio book? Because, you know, some people are digital and they don't pick up the hard copy.
I'm doing an audio book. It's just that with the amount of proofing that had to go on with the hardback book of 312 pages, it was printed in Ireland. So when they send back, we were here doing it, checking it, like how you would read a book side by side. Sorry, my screen moved. They send back individual pages. You have to sign off on every single page. And then the actual printer got hit with COVID. So I couldn't plan a launch date or anything until they had the book in my hand, because I didn't know how long it would take to get here, the shipping, what would happen with customs, etc. But I got it. It made it through here just at the end of November. And I have it selling myself. The actual pre-orders were really good, over 500 pre-orders.
Wow.
And it's selling at Carter's and at Cloister bookstores. Andy Tate's Place has it. And I'm just driving around having fun, taking it to people who want it signed. And I haven't gotten to you yet, Ronnie.
No, I know. Do you have enough for the people that will order online for delivery of the hard copy overseas?
Yes. That I'm working on that right now, because I had a lot of people message me from Canada, the UK, the States, going, how can I get a copy? And I'm trying to work that out. I am recording an audio book. I am dealing with Amazon and stuff. But as an individual self-publisher, I have to deal with one thing at a time, one step at a time. You know, so it's not that I'm ignoring anyone. I'm just trying to get everything put in place. So I'd say by Monday or Tuesday, I'd know exactly how I'm going to deal with the overseas people. And then the audiobook should be finished by middle of January.
Nice.
The steps. It's a major undertaking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it is.
Yeah.
Now,
you know, and I do appreciate it. I did get a part grant from the NCF with their stuff that's going on. So big kudos to Carol and Andrew.
Yes, bigger
Andy
Carroll.
And my final question, this book obviously sharing a lot of the personal experiences, but people really admire your work from a technical perspective. Is there the potential for a book that will look at the technical aspect of musicianship and recording for those who are really into that aspect of what you have done over decades?
I have considered that, but for some unknown reason, I tend to, every time I think of it, I tend to see a video.
YouTube, yeah, tutorial, those, that type of thing, yeah.
Those kind of technical things, if you're reading it, it's one thing, but okay. But seeing it being done, like wow. I was working with Threads of Scarlet, and we were in Canada mixing it with our engineer, Eric Ratz, who has won the equivalent of a Grammy Award. I think he won 3 or 4. And watching him work and asking him questions and seeing it, seeing technical stuff tends to sink in more than reading about it. It can tend to get a little bit boring. I was very careful in the book when I did get technical and people who used to ask me what keyboards you used to play, how you used to set up the splits, how you used to play 5 keyboards at the same time and trigger changes. You have to be very careful because those things can be boring. They're interesting to people who are tech savvy. But whereas, you know, if you were to see it, you would go, okay, yeah, that, you know, that looks cool. Yeah.
Well, I think video. You mentioned, you know, the NCF working with you to some degree on this project. Now that you mentioned that, it would be great if they could do something with, let's say, Nicholas and Arturo and yourself and select instrumentalists. It could be a series that they could create, and I think everybody will be happy with that.
What I've always wanted then, I don't mean to cross you, what I've always wanted, and I have to do these things because my memory doesn't work, is for somebody to write a song, just a melody, okay, and give it to Turo, Nicholas, Chris Allman, myself, Darian, and you would find that you would get 5 different songs. No music, just the melody, only a melody, which is how RPB just gives me a melody, and I'll take the song and, you know.
My final
question, okay.
You've seen Barbados from independence to being a republic, and you've written some wonderful songs which have brought Barbados together. How do you feel now that we've actually retained republic status, especially with the strong national spirit that you have? What are you thinking?
It's something that has been sitting there for the longest time. I was on the garrison in 1966, standing up in a foot of mud and pouring rain to watch us become independent. Yeah. But so that was one step. After 55 years, you kind of go, you know, if I was in Parliament, I would not want to be going into the House pledging my allegiance to the Queen for any reason whatsoever. This does not mean I will be disrespectful, because we live in a very small world. Yes. A lot of people were questioning, why did Prince Charles come? I mean, like, come on, you know, there's no need to go back and be. It proves nothing.
We don't have to be enemies. We don't have to.
It's just a simple courtesy. Simple courtesy. Yeah. Yes. How you feel is how you feel personally. There's a certain aspect of diplomacy that you do that's worldwide.
Yes,
you know, we are on the eyes of the world. So, you know, I think it's been long in coming. I felt wonderful. I was really sorry that more Bajans couldn't go because of COVID, because it was something that I think so many people wanted to be a part of, you know. So finally we're on our own, but yet we're in a world where you are not on your own and you can never be on your own. Don't even dream of that. That's not going to happen. So you have to understand the parameters on which we play politics, and politics is a game like anything else.
Truth.
Don't start me on politics, please.
That's another addition, Kev.
Yeah, the addition. Yes, it was absolute pleasure. Miss Maria, before we close off, if there's anything you want to say out there, and again, I must commend you for doing such a wonderful job. And yes, we do speak, and at no time we've been talking ever since you had any disability at all, you know, and you're always up to the task and ready. So I must commend you for that. And
correct.
I'm being honest when I tell you that all this time we've been speaking, all this time I've been knowing you, all the time we communicating, did not know you had a disability. That the truth. I learned that right now on your life. So Better Think is wonderful. It's just further cements in my mind how much work I have to do mentally for myself, for my personal development. John, you know, to be extremely honest.
I know.
whether get lit through or not. Well, it just shows spirit. In my mind. Yeah, it just shows in my mind how far I have to come as a person, as a man, and as someone who the community sees as a leader, whether I wanted it or not. That's how the youngsters in the community see me as a leader. So it shows that I have work to do. You understand in how I perceive people with disabilities. And I just want to thank you for highlighting that in me. You know what I mean? And bringing that realization to myself. And I promise that I will work much harder to be much better at it in the future. So I just want to thank you for that.
You're welcome. And there are two things that I want to leave before I go.
Yes, please.
I'm willing to work with you. Thank you. We do a disability etiquette course.
Yes,
so we'll show you, we'll teach you how to treat persons with disabilities. We'll teach you the right language. So we won't say these people. We are not these people or those people. You know, that is, remember I said early, I didn't always have a disability. So if we're talking about these people and those people, that means I was one of you, you know?
Yeah.
So we don't go there. So I'm willing to work with you whenever you're ready. But there are two things. And one thing I must leave is talking about the creatives and with John. We all know how talented John is. NTI, the course is online. We also support the creatives.
Nice.
So when you go on the website, www.nti.org.bb, you'll see courses like arranging for songwriters. And I'm reading, right?
Yes,
teaching popular music in the classroom. And there's just a bit. The arc of music production. Jazz improvisation.
Music and that production? Is only you say music
jazz,
production?
Jazz improvisation.
And you said music production, the art of music production?
Yes, I did.
All these are free.
All of these are free.
This is phenomenal, Ronnie. It is phenomenal.
And if you want to go a step higher now and learn about the copyright law in the music business, that course is also there for you.
Nice.
So it has everything for everyone. Creativity and entrepreneurship.
Yes.
And these are just some. So these are all found on our website.
Yes.
www.nti.org.bb.
.bb, correct.
And the other thing, I want to make sure, Ronnie said earlier he loves documentaries. NTI released a documentary yesterday, and that was celebrating International Day of Persons with Disabilities, which is recognized as the third of December.
Yes.
I want everyone to go on NTI YouTube, NTI page, and look for Labeled Disabled. I say no more.
You will be blown
away when you watch that. And we only released it yesterday.
Yes, people are on Facebook and IG's NTI Star Beijing, NTI Star Beijing. And you can look for us on Facebook and IG. And as you say, look for us on YouTube as well. I think it's great work NTI is doing. www.nti.org.bb. I want to thank the NTI for always coming on board at my beck and call when they ask a question, always providing me with help, always helping out my young people as well. And you know, that is all I really care about is making sure that my young people, you know, I have the correct tools. And Maria, you've done a wonderful job today, and I must say, I really appreciate you, Mr. Ruitt. Before you go, any parting words you leave me with us? And like I said at the beginning of this, I appreciate you. You are an absolute legend, and I wish you much more life and success. Any parting words, my brother? Thanks for coming on Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme.
It's really good to be a part of this. I'm very happy that Ronnie got a One Love victory. You're lucky, though. You know, I got Ronnie good. And Maria, you are amazing with what you're doing. Yeah.
Oh yes.
You see, the thing is that if we as people who have access to these kind of platforms share everything that we have, everything goes wrong in a circle, you know, like creativity, thought, money, everything, nothing can stay still. And if we just share among ourselves, everything's gonna go wrong and come back wrong to you in any case. You know, love is something that you can never run out of. When you give
never.
It, you instantly
very true.
Get it back. So the same yes. thing, you know, yeah.
That's wonderful. Mr. Nobby Clark.
Yes, sir.
Love you, my brother. Thanks a lot for accommodating me. Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, VOB, we are number one for a reason. This is your boy, Sluggy Dan. I'm out.
And as Rupee would say, love you all. Love you all. Drums, please.
Was great. Drummer boy, go on, play your drum. Nobody.